Toledot by Madison Scott Clary. Codrin Balan tagged Pollux, 2325. The first direction from the L5 system came in the form of a message from "May Then My Name Die With Me." "Find Ezekiel," it read. "Talk with him. Be patient. Be kind." When they showed it to Deer, the fox's ears stood erect, and it led Codrin out of the house to stand on the patio and watch the storm from the safety of the overhang.
"Please be careful, my dear."
"Do I have something to worry about? Should I be prepared for violence or something?"
It shook its head.
"I do not think so, no. Ezekiel was a member of the Council of Eight, one of the founders. He was close to much that happened in the early history of the system."
"What did he do?"
Codrin shook her head. "I mean, what is it that he's known for?"
"Forking."
It let out the air in her lungs in one low, huh. It felt as though it had been kicked in the stomach, and he struggled to regain her breath as stars swam before her eyes.
"Forking? You've got to be kidding me, dear."
The fox laughed.
"I am not. I thought that that was a core aspect of the system from before the beginning. It was an accident at first. Someone split in two, not Michelle, before you ask, and the system automatically corrected and deleted both forks. The population was quite low at that point, and Zeke knew the victim. As part of his grief, he began to formulate the SysSide algorithms and drafted the petition to FizSide for allowing legitimate forking of personalities."
"And Michelle helped?"
"She coordinated between Ezekiel, FizSide, and another council member on the logistics and how it was associated with reputation markets, yes."
After a moment of staring out into the rain-clouded prairie, Codrin said,
"I'm constantly surprised at just how much of a frontier it was back then, and just how many pies your clade seems to have had its fingers in."
Deer smiled tiredly.
"So, why did you bring me out here?"
"It is nice to talk about serious things with the sound of the rain in the background."
"Really?"
"Of course not, my dear."
It gestured back through the window where its partner sat reading.
"They do not enjoy hearing me talk of that time in our lives."
Codrin frowned.
"I think I know the answer, but should I interview them?"
"Please do not, Codrin. I do not want to bring up painful conversations of the past, nor do I wish you to learn all that they know from a single source."
"I understand. Johan mentioned that May Then My Name has been cagey around her past as well. No?"
He held up a hand to forestall a comment from Deer.
"You don't need to defend her, or yourself for that matter. I would, however, like to hear your reasonings for these decisions."
"For withholding information?"
"For withholding it yourself. It seems as though you want us, you as in the old clade and us as in the Balan clade, to discover things on our own. Why?"
Deer stuck a paw out, palm up, beneath the downspout and the steady stream of water that flowed from it, letting the water soak into its fur.
"There are parts of our past that I am ashamed of. Many of my co-cladists are, as well. You could interview any one of us about the entirety of our story, even me, and we would tell you, but we would also resent you for that fact."
Codrin waited Deer out.
"We would resent you, and the temptation to lie would be too great. It is better that you gather this information piecemeal to gain a more accurate picture of what it is that happened leading up to both secession and launch. May Then My Name is right. You should seek out the founders. You should seek out someone other than an Odist. You should seek out one who did not simply agree with us that far back."
"All right, I can accept that."
It leaned in to bump its nose against her cheek.
"Thank you, my dear. Be kind to Ezekiel, as May Then My Name suggests. Be patient with him. Be careful, for his sake. Be prepared for a difficult conversation."
"Difficult, how?"
"He is not who he used to be. Time has not been kind to him, to his sanity. He is no longer the shrewd and funny politician he was back then. Since about the time of the launch proposal, he has returned to being called Ezekiel and donned the mantle of his namesake."
"What's that?"
Deer shook its paw dry.
"A prophet."
Codrin was not sure what a prophet looked like, but the conversation with Deer dogged him all the way until he was able to find Ezekiel and get him to agree to an interview. What at first looked like a bundle of rags set in the middle of a rocky, arid plain slowly raised an arm up toward the sky. It was a shaky movement, exhausted, as though the movement caused it great pain. Surrounding the bundle was a scattering of what looked to be clay pots, each of which was lidded with a wooden stopper, and in the air was a foul scent.
Ezekiel.
A low rasp came up from the pile of rags.
Codrin Balan, I have been waiting for you.
Unable to think of anything else to do, he sat down beside the bundle of rags. Hidden within it may have been a face, but he wasn't sure.
Waiting for me?
Yes. A voice from within spoke to me, and I knew it to be that of the Lord, and I fell down upon my face, and it entered into me, and set me back upon my feet, and held out a scroll. He said to me, Mortal, eat what is offered to you, eat this scroll. So I opened my mouth, and he gave me this scroll to eat, as he said to me, Mortal, feed your stomach and fill your belly with this scroll that I give to you. And I ate it, and it tasted as sweet as honey to me. A long pause followed, during which Codrin did not speak, but silently wished for the scent of honey rather than the scent of something burning.
And so I knew that you were to come to me to take my story.
A nodded. I have come to interview you, yes. A few members of the Old Clade suggested that I seek you out. A dry rattle sounded from within the dusty rags, and it took Emma a moment to understand that this was laughter.
Yes, yes, of course they did. Speak, Codrin Balan. Ask me your questions.
I have a few, some about the launch and some about secession.
Ask me first about launch.
Did you leave a fork behind on the L5 system?
No, he said. A finger rose tiredly from the upraised hand. The word of the Lord came to me. O mortal, turn your face toward man's iniquity in the heavens and prophesy to them, and say, O cruel men of machinations, you have broken your treaties with the earth which God has set before you, and though it be the doing of many who are one, leave now the world of your birth, that it be washed clean of your sin. You may have hoped for life as gods of the false idols, but the heavens are no longer yours for such arrogance.
Codrin remembered the admonition to be kind and patient, to be careful, and so he sat in silence as seemed appropriate.
Those who sought to build their temple continue here, yes, and continue there, but judgment will not yet come to them. I have seen the fire encased in flame and the sun's eagerness to send us on our way, and that is my reason for leaving them behind. And I am to lay here for 390 years, arm outstretched to the system, and live off the cakes of wheat, barley, beans, lentils, millet, and emmer, until perhaps we cross the threshold of the firmament. We diverge, Codrin Balan, we of Castor and Pollux. The prophets diverge, and so too the prophecy. How can two divergent prophecies be true? And yet they must, for the voice of the Lord has given us the scroll as sweet as honey, and our minds must be as one, though they be as split as the broken one.
When the speech appeared to have concluded, Codrin bowed her head.
That answers many of my questions, Ezekiel. You speak of the many who are one. Do you mean the idea of Clades?
Yes, some are the many who are one. Jonah, who is many that are one. Michelle, who is few that are one.
He once more remained quiet, mind churning over what seemed to be the root of the Ode Clade.
Michelle,
breaking the treaties with the earth with which God set before her. Michelle, who left the world of her birth.
And who was this Jonah?
There were 8 of us, Ezekiel said, and something about its voice sounded clearer, more present than before.
A council set to guide but not govern. We were to be the interface between our world and the earth. The 3 from the east, the prophet, the nameless one, the politician, the broken one, and her friend.
Ezekiel must be the prophet, and surely Michelle was the broken one. He didn't know the rest of the references, so he filed the information away until later to look up.
He felt the need to be completely present for the prophet.
Guide towards secession.
Not at first. At first we were to be one people in 2 forms, those who had life entire on the earth that God set before them, and those who lived beyond death. Those who lived on earth saw the idolatry within the system, and with the help of True Name and Jonah, built up a religion of separation, that we be 2 people in 2 forms.
True Name?
The prophet turned a weary head towards Codrin. There was definitely a face there, I saw, though it was dirty and blended seamlessly into the tattered rags that surrounded it.
One piece of the broken one.
He closed her eyes and rifled through the ode he kept near at hand in an exocortex. There were 2 instances of the phrase, the only time I know my true name is when I dream, and to know one's true name is to know God. Both of them made sense as a possibility, as the first was a first line of that stanza and would have been one of the earliest forks, but the second named God, which fit well with Ezekiel's role as prophet. After a moment's thought, I asked her question, choosing her words carefully.
The true name who dreamed, or the true name who knew God?
Another raspy cackle came from the bundle of rags.
You need not mince your words with me, Kodrim Balan. I am the mystic, you are the poet. The only time I know my true name is when I dream, a broken vessel for a broken soul.
I smiled cautiously, feeling a heat in her cheeks.
Is Trunim on the launch?
Yes.
Are they on the system as well?
Yes.
Should I interview them for this?
Ezekiel once more turned his gaze to the sky, supposing that that is where the abandoned planet must lie.
No. The Lord has put cords upon you, so that you cannot turn from your path. Your twin and your root shall seek her out, but you must seek out one born of her, and you must seek out more of the eight who were to guide but not to govern. You must seek out Jonah, and you must see to your loved ones.
Kodrin nodded, taking down the list of names, if names they were.
Yoan and Kodrin Castor will get to talk the true name, apparently. I'll get one of her up three instances, more of the Council of Eight and this Jonah. Loved ones, dear, perhaps.
What should I ask them? A said aloud.
Ask them what you asked me. Each shall give you a different answer, and when they are brought together, you may see the past and write your poem, poet. His arm began to waver, and then dropped once more to his side.
I am tired, Kodrin Balan, and I must eat and drink.
A nodded and stood, folding her notes and capping her pen.
Much as dear said, A thought. Combine the sources for a more clear picture.
A said aloud,
Thank you, Ezekiel. I hope that you enjoy your meal.
A final, rattling laugh, and the arm fumbled to one side where a flat cake had been cooking atop a pile of what looked like smoldering dung. Once more, his voice lost the edge of prophecy and became more cogent. It's vile stuff, but I'll try.
Toledot, Book 2 of the Post-Self Cycle, by Madison Scott Clary, read by the author. Toledot is licensed under a Creative Commons 4.0 Attribution Non-Commercial License. Music by Chad Crouch, released under a Creative Commons 3.0 Attribution Non-Commercial License. Audio editing by Greg Hill. Toledot is available as a paperback and ebook. You can find more at toledot.post-self.ink. That's toledot.post-self.ink. If you would like to support more of my writing, you can find me at Patreon at patreon.com/makyo. That's makyo. Thank you for listening.